One of the goals this season, as I count, is from this past feast to the next feast, approximately a year, is to read the scriptures through with a focus on seeing God's love toward us. I started this year in Matthew, and I'm reading through now in the book of John, and just reading chronologically through from the beginning of a book to the end, and then the story repeats at the next book in different ways, different things brought out. And so I've been really enjoying that. I hope that you're on your way already to reading the Bible through, wherever you start and however you keep track of it for your own reading. What I was wanting to do is to personally, in my life, and I want to share with you too, is to see the love of God in a way that is more full and complete than I've ever seen it before. I'll be turning 70 in a couple months, and I'm at that point in my life where I want to dig a little deeper and study a little harder and pray a little more and understand God's word a little bit better and be able to teach that to all of you as well. This year, my plan is to bring a series of sermons about the Messiah, about Jesus Christ. This is the most important theme in the Bible and includes the work of the Father and of Christ together, bringing many children to glory. And you can read of this in every book of the Bible. You can read of it, especially in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, where we see the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ when he came, when he fulfilled many of the prophecies of the prophets before him, and when he trained his disciples and passed on to the church the teachings of his second coming. And so the topic of the Messiah starts on page 1 of the Bible and goes to the very end, and it goes forever after that. The first message that I want to give today is just an introduction to this very big and very important subject. And as we progress through the series, I'll devote the time to speak on many different aspects of the Messiah, of his many different roles in our life. Where would we start on a subject of this magnitude and of this importance? I've started my Bible study, as I said, in the Gospels, that area of Scripture that most closely focused on the coming of the Messiah, in the coming in the flesh to be with his people, to be here to teach, to show, to live, to bring good things, and to take away some things as well. It's in those books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where we read of his sacrifice, of his death, his resurrection, his promise to return. And so I turn to John chapter 1 to begin. And I want to open to us in this introductory message some of the things that we see and focus our attention on, not just these books, but the rest of the scriptures. Because as we read them from beginning to end this season, to have this focus and to see what Jesus Christ came himself to preach and to teach and to do. And so we read a good place to begin in John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so as we see, we begin to study about the Messiah, we have to see his pre-existence before ever anything was created. In the beginning, he was God. He was with God. And we can see this in many different areas of Scripture. And winds of doctrine have been blowing for the last few years that make it so that people misunderstand this part of the gospel. And the subject of the origin of Jesus Christ and of his work and of the Father's work. And if we're going to talk of the Messiah, we have to see that it is the work that is engaged in with the Father and with Jesus Christ. And I want to spend maybe several different messages on this particular aspect of the Messiah. He was in the beginning with God. And it repeats there. It's emphasizing that he was always in existence. There was never a time when he was not in existence. He was there from eternity past. He was in the beginning with God. And verse 3 says, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And so if we talk about the Messiah, we have to understand he is our creator, the creator of everything. And so in our studies, we'll be going through the various parts of the scriptures that speak of him in that way and show, not just in times past, but how important it is for us now to understand that. And also looking forward into the future when he will continue creating. And we see it in the scriptures. In verse 11 of this chapter, and what I'm doing here is just showing you how John was inspired to introduce this enormous topic to us methodically and clearly and be able to put it in writing now for us to see. In verse 11, it says, he came to his own people. And that implies that there was a reason that he came to that particular group of people at that time, that place. And so, and we study about the Messiah, we're going to look into why it was that he came there to his own people, it said, and his own did not receive him. And so there are things that are so important to understand about the Messiah that involve about to whom he was sent. And why that group of people were the ones to see his earthly ministry as they did. And why some did not receive him and others did. Look in verse 12, and we'll continue a few verses here. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. This is one of the great purposes of the Messiah's work. And this is something that now touches us individually, as many as received him. I want to give a whole sermon on this verse about receiving the Messiah. What does that mean? And how do we do it? And look at the great blessing that comes from that, to be given the right, or the authority is another way of seeing that word, to become children of God. When we talk of the Messiah, we talk of this great work that he is doing and how it is accomplished and how it comes from him to us. We receive something. And so there's something here for all of us to see and to understand more fully. And I want to know that more at the end of this season than I do now. In verse 13, well, continuing here in verse 12, even to those who believe in his name. And so it's receiving, but it's also believing. And here we are today among those who this verse describes, those who have received, those who have believed, those who have been given the right to become children of God. It's such a great blessing to us to be able to understand the Messiah's work, because understanding him is so important to understanding our future as well. Verse 13, who were born, speaking of us now, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so we see again the Father's role in our lives and that Holy Spirit that's given to those who receive and believe the words, the work, the love of the Messiah. In verse 29, It says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. As we go forward in the story, in this narrative here, and we see something that he came to take away. Because he came not just to give great blessings, but in the taking away of some things to also make it so that we are very blessed. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, saying, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And what a great blessing that is. So there's something so important. And I might save that part for the time just before Passover, as we speak of the Lamb's work in that way, the Messiah's work in taking away our sins, in taking them as far as east from the west. With each of these verses, brethren, there's a sermon. There are verses through the Bible that speak and tie these things together and expound them and show us more fully and more deeply what each of these various aspects of his work involve. Looking back in the previous book in Luke, and as I was reading and preparing for this message, I kept coming across verses like this. And in fact, you can find them in every book of the Bible, but especially here in the book of Luke, at the time after Christ was resurrected, we find some of his words. In chapter 24, a few days after he had been buried and now raised from the dead, this being, I think, the first day that he was fully alive again and now walking on the road to Emmaus, where two of his disciples were. They didn't know him, but they talked a long, long time as they walked along. And he finally said to them in verse 25, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. And Christ directed them back to the written word before and the spoken word as well. He said, ought not the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ, to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. There's something there for every one of us to see and to learn, not only in the books of Moses, but in all the prophets. And I know I've read through those books before, and I've read them, as someone was describing to me, it's almost, sometimes when you have a goal of reading the Bible, it's like a task to get through and to accomplish the task of having read. This time, I want to, and I hope you do, want to learn more as we go about this topic, God's love and the work of the Messiah. He expounded in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And there's a lot that concern his work and him. In verse 32, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? And my prayer is that God will open to me the scriptures a little bit more, that my understanding will grow and my ability to help teach his way, along with the other men in the area who are teaching, along with the mothers who teach their children, along with all of us as we teach our friends and one another. In verse 36 through 45. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. And here, if we think of the Messiah standing there with them, showing them the physical evidence of his sacrifice, he says, handle me and see, For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate in their presence. There's a really good personal approach that Jesus Christ had here too. To be able to talk to his disciples and eat with them and express openly his desire for them to learn. And he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you." I want to look at those words with you. I want to go through the scriptures with you, those words that he spoke while he was here. That's what he's saying is so important. That's what he's telling his disciples, that they need to now comprehend and be able to teach and to pass on to others. He says that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. How many times did Christ do something and it was written that it was fulfilled, that Isaiah spoke this and others spoke these things, and thus it was fulfilled. And all of these, each one adding to the other, showing without a doubt the divinity of Jesus Christ, the authority of the Word of God, and the work of the Messiah being accomplished. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. That's the goal for this series, that we, you and I and all of us, may have our hearts and our minds able to understand more fully this word of God about his Son and the words of his Son. This will be my focus then for the year. In the course of this series, we'll consider some of the major prophecies of the Messiah. There are hundreds. We'll look at some of the major ones and maybe some of the ones that are more difficult to ascertain. You know, they're small ones, but we can see them yet, and then they all add to the greatness of his ministry. So we want to look at the prophecies of the Messiah, because he did. He spoke of those things that Moses and all the prophets wrote, both of his first coming and his yet future coming in power and glory. We find both of those, the first and the second coming, are mentioned in the prophets of the Old Testament scriptures. We'll read of the scriptures that teach of his existence from everlasting to everlasting. We need to see that, because there are winds of doctrine that speak of Christ in a different way. We want to see in the Bible, how is he described? He was described as with God in the beginning and the creator of all that is, not a created being himself. And so we need to see this. We'll hear the words of the Father concerning his Son, because it's so important that we see that God the Father is involved in this as well, in a very, very major way. We could not have a Messiah unless we had the Father too, because the Messiah died for us, and the Father resurrected him. And there are many other reasons that we must have the two together. We'll consider the Messiah's work through the ages of man's history, especially the works that he accomplished while he was here in the flesh, and the work that he is diligently pursuing now in our lives. To understand the Messiah, we must understand how he is working now in your life and in mine. And along the way, we'll learn of his character, and his love, and his courage, and his trust in our Father. And we can carefully consider his words and his example and is teaching us how to live. And as we do this, we can rejoice in his willingness to forgive us and his ability to strengthen us. And we'll see the promises of his return. Brethren, I expect that we'll find it's like John himself wrote in the last verse of the book that he wrote on the gospel account of John. Later he wrote other books, but here in the book of John, in his last verse as he closes, he speaks of this great work of Jesus Christ. In John 21, verse 25, "And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." But it's a worthy topic, and it's a big one. And it's something that I think we can tackle together and learn and devote ourselves to learning and growing in this area of our spiritual growth. You know, Peter closed his book in the sense that we should be growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These are worthy goals, and we can see it in the scriptures as we read through them this year. And since the reading of the scriptures is part of our goal this year, and searching in them for the love of God toward us, I wanted to focus our attention on this greatest expression of his love. I hope you will find that this series will be edifying and instructive and encouraging and motivating. And I hope that at the end of this season, we'll all be able to understand more fully everything that we can about our Messiah. We can turn to any page of the scripture and find evidence of his work and his love and God's love for us. But brethren, I'm looking forward to a good year ahead. And I don't think we have time to not grow in this area. I think it's important for every one of us. I think with all that's happening in the world around us, and I think with the pulls we see to keep us apart from one another, when I see what's happening in our country and other countries of the world, I think it's time that we look more and more into this and to see these things, because it's the work of the Messiah that will save us. It's the work of God through the Messiah. It's the work of Jesus Christ in us. It's us learning and growing and sharing these things. So, brethren, along the way, I hope we can also have some very good Bible studies on this subject as well, and hear from you and have your questions and your comments, because this is a subject that we all can help each other to grow in and to understand. And so, brethren, I hope it's a good year. I hope that by next feast, we'll all be able to be stronger, closer to God, walking more closely in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, having a bond of love between us that is there but needs to be strengthened, and have all the blessings that we have through Jesus Christ, the Messiah.